unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil, olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, the seventh in our fifth anniversary series, is Joseph and Benjamin by Peter Lyon. There was in Egypt a prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. Dozens and scores of those who had found disfavor in the eyes of the courtiers of the king, whose name was called Pharaoh. And it came to pass that one day Pharaoh sent and called, and the keeper of his prison went hastily to the dungeon and called forth from the dungeon one prisoner.
Taste of my whip should cure your thirst.
Which one of you is Joseph, born a Hebrew?
No, not me. He's over there.
I'm Joseph. What would you with me?
Follow me. Quick, no questions. The rest of you, your food and drink is coming when I please. There's clothing, Jew, but first you'll wash and shave.
Is that an order or an invitation?
The word has come from Pharaoh. He would see you. Would you come to stand before the king in rags and lousy from the dungeon?
He's not my king.
Now listen.
I'll wash and shave and wear clean raiment. Not to please your king,
beware
but...
Beware such talk.
Just to advertise how clean you keep this pest house.
Would there was time to teach you proper awe, mighty Pharaoh.
Your razor's lost its edge.
Remember, when you get there, he'll be thrown atop a flight of 66 steps. His crown outshines the sun. He stands 6 cubits tall. While you're nothing but a Hebrew slave. A worm, the dust beneath his feet. You hear?
I hear.
And when you enter, you're to knock your head 3 times upon the floor. And when you speak, your eyes must be averted, lest his glory blind you, for he satisfied his whim in bidding you to come.
Is this the best you've got for clothes?
Ungrateful dog.
Call me a dog. I swear if opportunity presents while I'm with the king, I'll so contrive that those poor devils down below will teach you how it feels to have the lash across your back.
What, slave?
Enough! Which way will you take me to your king? So this is Pharaoh.
You looked for more.
Where's the king 6 cubits tall? Where the dazzling crown of amethyst and gold to blind my eyes? Where the throne atop the 66 ebony-encrusted steps? Where the mountain lion purring at your heels?
You must concede my courtiers do not lack imagination.
I'll concede a stupid effort aimed at making men believe you're more than man.
But you're not fooled. And all you see is just a feeble man grown fat with palace life, whose hair is falling out, whose hands are soft and pale.
That's right.
Your eyes are very sharp.
If you would shrink a king down small as man and smaller...
Yes?
Then spend 2 years in that king's jail. See who's imprisoned. Ask the reason why. Learn how poverty is a crime in Egypt. See the cunning punishments contrived for those who have contempt for that king's courtiers and failed to seek their favor. Witness how they're whipped and starved each day. Count the bodies of their dead each evening. Then skulk home by secret alleys, take a mirror, steal a look at that same king, and see how you have shrunk.
Your tongue is bold for one who's born a slave.
I was not born a slave. In Canaan, whence I came, my father is a chief of rank and honor, and I his favorite son.
And yet, a jailbird here in Egypt. What was your crime that you should be in jail?
My crime?
1,000 pardons. What did they say you did who clapped you under irons?
Invite your answer from the wife of Potiphar, your captain.
The wife of Potiphar? A sultry wench. Zuleika, that's her name. A roving eye, flirtatious disposition. I'll wager she has had affairs with 20 strong young men. What? Why, you're the sort of youngster that she'd have. I see it all. She winked at you and you went walking past. I'm right?
Yes, sire.
So scorned she screams, claims you attacked her.
And lands me in jail. You will forgive me, sire. I cannot join your merriment. Her waspish tongue has kept me jailed for these 2 years.
Yes, of course. Slight punishment for such a dreadful crime.
There were those among my jailmates who had done less. But there they were. And on your orders, sire.
Young man, you seem persuaded of your own superiority.
In Egypt, Pharaoh is the law and should ensure the justice of his law. And should inquire, why is it that his law and thus his very self is hated by his people?
Strong words.
I am no courtier, sire.
That's evident enough. You know why I have bid you come?
No, sire.
They told me you were wise beyond your years. They told me you could pass the meaning of a dream.
A dream?
Surely dreams are child's play for a man who'd give instructions to a king.
A dream is filled with many strange devices.
All the wisdom of my wisest men is founded on this dream. I've highest hopes that you will not fail me. You seem so certain of yourself.
God is with me, I'll translate your dream.
Do I detect some slight uncertainty? Who is this God that you must call upon almost as though you needed the excuse that, should you fail, it was only he that failed you?
I'll hear your dream. Go on, speak.
In my dream, behold, I stood upon the bank of the river. And behold, there came up out of the river 7 kine, fat-fleshed and well-favored. And they fed in a meadow. And behold, 7 other kine came up after them, poor and very ill-favored and lean-fleshed, such as I never saw in all the land of Egypt for badness. And the lean and the ill-favored kine did eat up the first 7 fat kine. And when they had eaten them up, it could not be known that they had eaten them, but they were still ill-favored as at the beginning. And I saw in my dream, and behold, 7 ears of corn came up in one stalk, full and good. And behold, 7 ears withered, thin and blasted with the east wind, sprung up after them. And the thin ears devoured the 7 good ears. And those were my dreams.
Your 2 dreams say the same. The 7 kine are 7 years. The 7 ears of corn are likewise 7 years. And God is warning Pharaoh. After 7 years of plenty cometh 7 years of famine. Both dreams were the same. In Egypt there will be a time of plenty. Then the lean years will consume the land.
Now here's a wise interpretation.
And God is teaching Pharaoh. Harvest shrewdly. Set aside 1/5 of all your Egypt's food for each of 7 years and store it up in granaries against the 7 years of famine.
My wise magician spoke of 7 kings a-quarreling and 7 cities toppled in the dust and 7 wives and 7 sons, a farrago of witlessness. You say your God advised the symbols of my dream?
He so ordained.
Who is this God and where is he? I'd like to look upon him.
Can Pharaoh look upon the sun and not be blinded?
Of course not. Your gods the sun?
My god created sun and moon and stars. If Pharaoh can't look on the sun, then how
all
can...
All right. What matters now is that you passed the meaning of my dream.
God helping me.
And did your god same time suggest a meaning that will take a dozen years and more to verify? Don't answer. You will deny it. Joseph?
Sire?
You have much wit, a quality to be admired, and you have pluck. There's need for such a man as you at my right hand. My wisest men are fools, my bravest captains fops, who scarce can lift their swords. I need a man to rule my land.
You choose a slave?
You cannot even act the part of slave. Besides, I like the way your god advises you. If he can make you wise and so discreet, so then you'll do the same for me.
I'll open up the jails and free the men whose crime was being poor.
There was a time when I was poor myself.
If I'm to rule the land, I'll change your laws, with new and better men to force them.
You said my laws had fathered only hate.
I'll have your word to back me up.
I give this ring from off my hand to seal our bargain. There.
Praise be to God.
As you say. Go, call the palace guard. I'd have them know that I've set you over all the land of Egypt.
And Pharaoh put the gold chain about his neck, and they cried before him, "Bow the knee," and he was ruler over all the land of Egypt. And in the 70th years, the earth brought forth by the handfuls, and Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea very much, until he left numbering, for it was without number. And the 7 years of dearth began to come, according as Joseph had said, and when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians,
"Apply to Joseph, do whatever he shall say."
And Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians. And the famine waxed sore, and the dearth was in all lands over all the face of the earth. And Joseph sat at the right hand of Pharaoh and spoke with his officers.
"You've published my decree in all the foreign lands, Arabia, Phoenicia, Canaan."
"It's as you ordered, sir."
"Decree? And what decree was this?"
"An offer, mighty Pharaoh, sent to all our neighbors, telling them to come and buy our corn when as they lack."
"Our corn? Invite our deadly foes to buy our treasured corn? You must be mad."
"No matter what their tribe, they are our brothers. God has said that we should succor those who want."
"You'd feed our bloody-minded enemies and make them strong?"
"If we are rich and sell them none, then they are foes. If they have none and buy from us, then they are friends."
"That's true enough. You mix your charity with wisdom."
"Officer, you're sure that my decree has reached as far as Canaan?"
"Certain, sir."
"And set a watch at all the city's gates. And bring me word when certain men from Canaan, sons of Jacob, come to buy our corn. That's all."
"It shall be done as you've required, my lord."
"Canaan, sons of Jacob, friends of yours?"
"My brothers."
"Oh, you plan a feast to honor them."
"I plan revenge."
"What's this?"
"'Twas they who sold me into slavery. Tore off my coat and tossed me in a pit alive with snakes. Then flung me to a band of Midianitish merchants into bondage for 20 bits of silver."
"So that's the way of it. I wondered how you came to be a slave."
"I've waited for this moment 20 years."
"Now, by my gods and yours, the day has never passed without fresh testimony of your subtlety. Oh, wisest, slyest serpent thou."
"Even squirm."
"Who else but you would free the poor, unjustly jailed, revise our laws to benefit the general as though each was your flesh and blood, feed the hungry from whatever foreign land, insist all men are brothers, but not ever swerve an inch from your most just resolve to kill..."
"My brothers."
"No sickly sentiment, no conscientious qualm. Did ever king rejoice in such a viceroy?"
"Will you excuse me, sire?"
"Not going, Joseph."
"I have much to do before I sup."
"You'll surely let me witness your revenge."
"I'll tell you if my brothers come. Farewell."
"He's young, and therefore stubborn. Yet he'll change his mind."
Come.
My lord, the men you asked about are here.
Then send them in at once. I'll see them now.
All right, come on. My lord, the viceroy waits.
Which one of you is spokesman for the rest?
I'll speak, my lord.
Your name?
Is Judah, sir.
Whence are you come?
We've come from Canaan, sir, to purchase corn.
You lie.
My lord.
My men report that you're spies.
All right.
They say that you'll come to see the nakedness of our defense, to plan a war.
But this report is false, my lord.
What's that you say?
We're true men, my lord, and all one father's sons. We're no spies.
You say?
Your servants are 12 brothers, sir, the sons of Jacob in the land.
12, you say? Now I know you lie. I count but 10.
Our youngest brother, Benjamin, remained at home.
And where's the 12th?
He's dead.
A quick, convenient death to fit your lie.
My lord.
Hapdun. I still suspect you're spies, and here's how I'll test your story. One of you I'll bind in chains as forfeit. Go, the rest of you, and fetch your youngest brother back, if such they really be. So shall your words be verified.
My lord, it is impossible.
My lord, what you propose is harsh, for we are peaceful men and only come to purchase corn.
Will you select your hostage, or shall I?
I'll stay.
But Simeon!
I'll stay. Twas I who would have killed our brother Joseph years ago. Now, therefore, this distress has come on us from God. Get all ye hence for home. I'll stay.
Oh, God, arrest this man and cast him into jail.
Simeon!
You others, speed you on your way if you would save your brother's life and prove that you are honest men.
And it came to pass that Joseph's brethren took of the best fruits in the land for a present, and Benjamin, and rose up and went down again to Egypt, and stood before Joseph, and bowed themselves to him to the earth. And they said unto him,
Behold, my lord, your servants have returned.
You've brought the proof that you are honest men?
Once more we number 10, my lord, for here is Benjamin.
May God be gracious to you, Benjamin.
My lord believes we are not spies.
And is your father well, the man of whom you spoke?
My father has good health, my lord.
And Benjamin, you have a wife?
A wife and, lo, 10 sons, my lord.
10 sons? How are they called?
My lord should know I had a brother once, my mother's son, who disappeared. And so my children's names are each symbolic of his loss. Bela, which means my brother is lost. Becher, a firstborn to my mother. Ashbel, our father grieves his loss. Gera, he dwells in some strange land. Naaman, he was exceeding fair. Ehi, he was my mother's only other son. Rosh, he was the wisest of us all. Mupim, his heart was good. Hupim, he did not see my wedding day. And Ard, he will return one day.
You must have loved you.
If now my lord is satisfied, we're not spies,
Judah. He does not hear you.
Have you forgot, my lord, our brother Simeon? My lord!
And so, my son, revenge no longer smiles so sweet.
Oh, Pharaoh, so long to wait, and now there is not room for both within my heart.
Your brother Benjamin has come with them?
And memory twists in me like a knife. He was a boy when last I saw him, and now he's a man. For his and for our father's sake, I'd summon up forgiveness.
Yes.
Then I remember how I pleaded, how I called to them for mercy, how they laughed and jeered and stripped the coat from off my back. I see again their cold contempt.
How can you know they've changed?
That's it.
How surely know their manner now is not assumed. A careful, sly hypocrisy they wear when as they stand before a mighty lord.
Yes, how?
I'd conjure up a test.
Go on.
Should you, for instance, take some trinket, say this golden goblet here, could serve, and cunningly contrive to thrust it in among your brother Benjamin's effects.
Yes?
Apologize for doubting they were honest men, you see. Then bid them all Godspeed, direct them on their way.
But how?
You straightway send some soldiers in pursuit. Arrest them all. Accuse them all of theft. Which, when denied, is proved.
It's proved that Benjamin has...
Announce in angry tones that he who stole the cup must henceforth be your slave and serve you all your life. And then...
And then?
Why, then you wait and see. What will they do? Take to their heels and flee and quit their youngest brother, satisfied to keep their own skins whole?
I see.
Or will they fight? Cry thunder in your teeth, flash out their swords and swear to die, protecting him who is their flesh and blood. Which, if they do...
Forgiveness comes.
And they'll be worthy brothers of my viceroy.
An artful scheme and fair. I'll give the word at once.
And Joseph commanded the steward of his house, thus and so, and it was done according to his word. As soon as the morning was light, the men were sent away. And when they were going out of the city, and not yet far off, the soldiers overtook them, and the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. Then they rent their clothes and returned to the city. And they came to Joseph's house, and they fell before him on the ground.
What deed is this that you have done? Knew you not that such a man as I can certainly divine?
What shall we say unto my lord? What shall we speak? How shall we clear ourselves?
Now for this wrong I'll serve a judgment. He in whose hand the cup was found shall henceforth be my slave and stay with me in Egypt. As for you others, get you up and go in peace unto your father.
My lord.
What would you?
If we return to Canaan now, father sees that Benjamin is not among us.
Yes?
His life is bound up in the life of Benjamin, his son. Without him, he will die.
But what concern is this of mine?
My lord can spare an old man's sorrow.
And did he think of that who stole my cup of gold?
My lord, I pray thee mercy.
Mercy's no concern of mine.
My lord, I swore unto my father if I bring him not to Canaan, that I bear the blame forevermore.
So then?
So therefore, sir, I pray thee, let the lad go with his brethren.
No.
Wait! I will stay myself to be your bondsman in his place.
What's that you say?
That I would stay myself to be your bondsman in his place.
Here's vindication of the test.
My lord.
Judah. Brother. I'm Joseph. I'm your brother and your father's son.
The lost is found.
Yes, I'm your brother Joseph, whom you sold in bondage into Egypt. Be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you did sell me. God ordained that I should thus be sent here. For lo, it was given me to save your lives from famine.
Our brother is the leader of us all.
And we're forgiven?
More. We're reunited. Come, for Pharaoh waits to bid you welcome.
I give you greeting. Here's a happy time. Arise and go now. Take the news to him whose sons ye are, and say it is my wish that he and all his tribe come down to live in Egypt while this famine shall endure. Your brother Joseph wears the purple here. He cannot leave. His home must come to him. And if your father should object and say he's no Egyptian, nor can find a home down here where men have always warred with Jews, tell him that Pharaoh's royal helping hand is humbly offered in his need, as when one day I need, he'll offer his in turn. This is the truth that Joseph taught to me, then learned himself, that every man is keeper for his brother.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take pleasure in presenting Mr. Harry Brandt, distinguished civic leader and president of Brandt Theaters. Mr. Brandt.
Many centuries ago, Joseph learned that man was keeper for his brother. He had known that this superficially as a truism, then rediscovered it as a truth. We too, as we return to the Bible, gain a more profound understanding of its teachings. Men of goodwill are united in their concern for the well-being of man, not merely because experience proves this to be the most practical policy of human behavior, but because love for our fellow man is a moral imperative. Helping your brother, because someday you may need help from him, is a calculated and shrewd practice. But helping him because conscience and heart command your aid is an act of pure nobility. In our 20th century, we call the one enlightened self-interest, the other brotherhood. Joseph knew all about enlightened self-interest from the start. It was his guiding principle as Pharaoh's advisor. He freed the prisoners not only to right a wrong, but also so that Pharaoh's government would be respected and therefore strong. He fed the neighboring countries not only in the spirit of charity, but also as a means of purchasing their friendship. Our statesmen today, like Joseph, understand the interrelation and interdependence of all the peoples of the world. They have persuaded us that the well-being of our fellow man is vital to our own survival. As a result, we in America have given aid to an extent never before thought possible. Enlightened self-interest is therefore a motto which has encouraged us to do much that is beneficial. It is a weapon for good. But it is only a weapon and not good itself. For self-interest, no matter how enlightened, can never be synonymous with good. Joseph's act in pardoning his brothers was therefore different from his act in pardoning the prisoners. For he forgave his brothers, not with the thought that they might be able to help him in the future, but disinterestedly, moved purely by his love for them. There is, I think, an important distinction to be made here, one which we are in danger of forgetting today. It is good to help our fellow man because we thereby help ourselves. But it is better still to help him only for the reason that he is our brother.
Thank you, Mr. Brandt. Eternal Light Drama today was Joseph and Benjamin by Peter Lyon. The music was composed by Morris Momorsky and conducted by Milton Katims. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. Alexander Scourby was Joseph and Edgar Staley was Pharaoh. The production was under the direction of Frank Papp. Free time to present The Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.